You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. It's Living and Thriving with Rusty, and guess what? I'm Rusty. And it's Sunday night, a part of the new Sunday night series here in Living and Thriving Land. So I'm so glad that you're able to kick back. The kids are in the bath. You finished dinner probably. You just chillax in on a Sunday night. We have school vacation, so mine gets to stay up a little later tonight. But for the most part, I think, you know, kids are starting to tucker out a little bit. Maybe not. I could be wrong. Old school that way, maybe. I don't know. My birthday was Friday, and I was so thrilled to celebrate it in bed with a fever and a terrible sinus infection. But as I tell everybody, it rains every year for 380 years. It's rained on my birthday, and it's the one guarantee of warmth I have this time of year here in New England. And it rained, and it was so soothing. It felt so nice just to have that warmth because it's just been blizzard getting for the last couple of weeks here. Chloe and I leave for Florida to go and stomp around our new house and hang out with some friends that we miss very dearly. And so I'm looking forward to that. As long as my immune system gets up to par, and I can make the drive, and we are golden. Check me out with this whole blogging thing. I'm crazy mad writing like a crazy lady with a sinus infection. Recreation of Self, An Inward Journey for Outward Light was this week's post. Boy, have you guys sent me some loving emails. Thank you. Keep them coming. And if there's more insight that I can try to offer you in some aspect of your life, I absolutely will. I'm really digging this, and I love all the support you're giving me. Of course, always looking for you to call in and chit-chat with us. And tonight's not a work night like normal, so you have no reason not to. The phone's right next to you. You're probably playing that Candy Crush game. I swear I see you. You're busted. The number here is 347-205-9443. Sponsorship. Always looking for sponsorship for the Living and Thriving series, the leadership three-part leadership series on the vlogs, yes, the video blogs, will be coming out next month. Excuse me. Still recovering from this cold. And always looking for sponsors. So feel free to go onto my website for the sponsorship options and packages because it goes from $10 to $10 bazillion, whatever you want. That's totally cool. Check out my blog. Check out Facebook, you've got to connect with me because Karen is doing a mad, crazy job with putting my whole entire life on Facebook. I'm going to be on a ton of TV series, a ton of radio interviews in the next couple of months, and I would love for you to be there, provided my story doesn't bore you that much over time. Tonight, I have to say, I'm really excited about this guest. This is kind of an out-of-the-box thinking guest for me because I'm a woman and I'm a very strong woman, as most of you know. I'm a feisty redhead who speaks her mind and I sword fight and have a blue belt and single mom and tough as nails, and I don't think I've cried since 1902. But Elliot Katz, author of Being a Strong Man a Woman Wants, is going to test me on this whole theory that I want a strong man. Yeah, I probably do, but I don't know that. So we're going to pull Elliot on right after this commercial break. And for those of you who are going to be a sponsor, this is a great place for a commercial break.
Tune in weekly to Living and Thriving with Rusty, Inspiration on Tap. Rusty explores topics related to mind, body, and soul. For more information, go to her site at rustymcdonald.com. Not McDonald like the farmer, or certainly not like the fast food. Rusty McDonald, just what the doctor ordered. Listen to Living and Thriving with Rusty, Inspiration on Tap. Tune in weekly to Living and Thriving with Rusty, life coach, radio talk show host, single mom, and blogger.
I am so glad he didn't call me a cheesy burger. I mean, I am kind of cheesy, but I don't eat beef. Happy meal. Silly man, commercial peoples. Elliot, are you out there?
Yes, I am.
Hello, high five.
Good to be here.
Welcome to Living and Thriving. So I got to stalk you on the internet, and I got to stalk you on YouTube, and so I know a little bit about you, and I've been actually really pushing for people to listen in on the show because the majority of my friends are male, and I love these guys. So this is going to be a very interesting conversation because the dualities that men go through is similar to what women go through, especially those of us who are more tomboyish. So it's really going to be an interesting show. So I'm very grateful for you joining us.
Great to be here.
All right. So who are you and what do you do?
Well, I'm Elliot Katz. I have a regular job, which has nothing related to my book at all. But I wrote a book called Being the Strong Man a Woman Wants, Timeless Wisdom on Being a Man. And it was a result of my own journey, like a lot of books of this type. I was married for 10 years, then I got divorced. And like a lot of people, at first I blamed the other person. Then I came to the realization, well, what do I have to learn from this? I don't want to go through this again. And it really set me on a journey to learn, well, what does it mean to be a man in a relationship, in a marriage? And, you know, the first thing I learned was that a lot of men are confused. You know, you talk to other men, we're all trying so hard. We hear all these messages. And we're trying so hard to be what these messages tell us to be, but it's not working. So then I started reading books on relationships, and they really didn't say anything to me at all. And then I turned to the writings and teachings that traditionally fathers, you know, taught younger men about being a man. And what blew me away was that they coincided with what I heard women saying is lacking in men today. They don't show leadership, they don't make decisions, and they don't take responsibility.
Okay. And you're actually from Canada, yes?
Yes.
All right. So I have to tell you, as I was stalking you to do my research, you have an alter ego from New York City. Same name. He's a writer. He's actually like a beatnik writer. He writes poetry. And
yeah, he writes poetry. Yeah. He spells
his
name differently.
You guys are definitely twins from different parents.
Separated
I don't know,
at birth. Separated at birth, maybe.
Separated at birth, right. The nurse kidnapped you. I'm the next Geraldo. So what do you do for regular work, aside from being this book writer and fabulous?
Oh,
motivation?
Actually, I work for the Ontario government, the government of the province of Ontario. I work in a policy job developing policy on the regulation of financial services. And I used to be a speechwriter for politicians. I've done a lot of writing in my day.
Well, that's very cool. Ontario's been in the line quite a bit this year.
Yeah, I've been. Why?
Is it Ontario or Toronto?
Oh, Toronto, because of the mayor. Yeah.
And the mayor, and then the, yeah. All right, wrong province. Sorry. Next. So, you wrote this book after you were married for 10 years. What was we'll get into kind of more of a ping pong thing in a minute, but what was the euphoric moment where that cosmic 2x4 came down and smacked you across the forehead and told you to pull up your big boy pants and you need to be stronger? What was that real moment of realization?
Well, I think it was really, you know, I think I just started reading, like, writings that men have written over the centuries. And there was one I read. It said, if you always follow your wife's advice, and I'm thinking, well, it's going to say, you'll have a good life. And it says, your life will be hell.
Right.
And it's like, whoa, it hit me. That really hit me. Like, that was like a 2x4 across the face. It's like, whoa, wow. I'm thinking, that sort of like turned around my thinking. It's just like, whoa, it's just really, but it doesn't say you should never listen to your wife. I mean, that writing, it said, you know, if you never listen to your wife, you should make an effort to listen to her. But if you always just do whatever she says, your life will be hell. And it really talks about a middle approach, you know, sometimes listen to her, sometimes use your own head. So, that really struck me because so many men today, I hear them so much. They say, well, you know, I just do what my wife tells me. The woman runs the home. you know, the home is her domain, and you know, I'm here to help her, and they can't understand why their wives are so fed up and frustrated with them. It's that was really like that hit in the head, hit in the face moment. It's like, whoa. And then because, you know, I've met a lot of divorced men, and they're all, you know, I remember I was invited to a divorced men's group, and I thought, these guys are probably all domineering, controlling guys. That's where they're divorced. And I thought, I'm a nice guy. I'm not going to fit in. But I went, and they're all the nicest guys, and they all couldn't understand why their wives divorced them, because they were such nice guys, why their wives didn't appreciate they were so nice and just always trying to please them and do whatever their wives tell them. But then when you talk to women, they understand. They say, yeah, I want a man. I you know, if a man had understood that I want him to be a man and take charge and show leadership, we wouldn't be divorced today. It was really like an awakening. And the amazing thing was, the more I talked to men, it's like they'll say, oh, no one's ever told me this before. I've never heard this before. So many men have said that.
What
so,
do you
Rusty,
think
I heard you say you're a strong woman, but do you want a weak guy who does whatever you tell him to do?
Well, no. That's going to be the entertaining part of the conversation in a few minutes. But so as a husband in your world, what do you think was the cataclysmic falling out in the gender bending as a child to all of a sudden become like this soft, sweet fella? Because I can even hear it in your voice. You're just a sweet fella. And that's not a bad thing. But you know, there's I was raised in the 80s, and we had Conan the Barbarian, and we had Clan of the Cave Bears, and we had She-Ra, the Princess of Power, and Superman and Batman, like all of these iconic images of either these really incredibly strong barbarian types, tough. Or we had the Inspector Gadgets, and who was the one with the shoe? He was so funny. God, what was his name? I can't even think of his name now. But, you know, it was either very, very strong and very barbaric and kind of callous male, or it was a kind of sweet,
sensitive
fella. And if you cross that middle line, then you headed into the whole, you know, not heterosexual range, and that's not what the show's about. But, you know, so as a male growing up, how do you really define your level of confidence in who you are and what you are if you have these extremely different views as to what your role is?
Well, that's a good question. So I'm a baby boomer, and I was raised in the time, and I think my generation was really the transition generation. Like, I was aware of all these messages saying, you know, our fathers and grandfathers were controlling and domineering, and we were going to be the new man who was sensitive to women, the new man like on, what was it, Alan Alda on that show, MASH, right?
MASH.
Like the sensitive guy and who respected women, as if, like, our fathers and grandfathers didn't respect women. And so, like, we were going to be that new generation of men, and, you know, we were going to, you know, we would, you know, the this whole image of, like, a man has to be the boss in a business because no man would accept having a woman as his boss, right? But we were going to be that new generation that was going to change everything. And what we've seen is, you know, it just didn't work. Like, this whole idea of the sensitive guy who develops his feminine side, all this stuff, it just, you know, it's good to be sensitive to other people's feelings and not hurt other people's feelings, but if we're starting to act like women, you know, not being the strong man that, you know, our fathers, our grandfathers taught our fathers to be, then it's just not working. And the amazing thing is, you know, people will say to me, oh, it's the feminist movement. But, you know, no one told men they have to listen to these messages. And really, I don't think the feminist movement really wanted men to be this way. It's just, this is how we took it. We interpret, oh, we'll be sensitive. We'll act like, we'll develop our feminine side, and we'll We'll talk about our feelings. We'll talk about relationships all the time. And we think we're being so, oh, we'll cry. I remember one fellow asked me if, you know, man, crying is a sign of strength. So I said, well, you know, if you're going to your mother's funeral, okay, you could cry. But if you're crying every day because, you know, somebody said something nasty to you, like, it's not good. So that was the new man. And so that's, like, I remember that transition, and yet we see it's just not what women wanted. I mean, it's just so many, you know, the response of God to the book, so many women have said, yes, this is what we want. How do I get a man to be like this? I'm so fed up with a man who can't make a decision, who thinks that by asking the woman to make the decision, he's showing he's non-controlling and sensitive, when really he's showing the woman that he can't make a decision. And if she would marry him, how would he handle a real crisis, a real problem in the marriage, if he can't even choose where to go for a cup of coffee? So that's how I placed myself in that transition generation. So then, you know, I was part of that, and then you come to realize, well, it's just not working. It's just, it's not what women want. I mean, the interesting thing is, when the book came out, I would tell men, read it, don't show it to your wives, just do it, you'll see, things will be better. But what happened was all the women read it, they buy it, they read it, and they say to me, how do I get my husband to read this book? How do I get him to start being a man? Literally, that's what they say to me.
So let's backtrack, because you're a smart fella, and I know that you research and read as much as I do. Let's talk about the nuts and bolts of gender bending and society and the lack of understanding boundaries, if there really are any boundaries. I know that you're a fan of the Talmud as well. And one of the things that I've found very difficult in a woman's perspective, because I can only really speak from the woman's side, is we have this dichotomy as well. We are expected to be this powerful, passionate, you know, librarian outside of the bedroom and dirty sex kitten inside the bedroom, and we're supposed to be meek and mild and run a household and raise the children and be able to cook and provide while the husband goes out and does whatever the husband does, and support and honor that as well as support and honor the children and all of these. We kind of octopus creature is what's developed, and males have their dichotomy, which is you're either too sensitive or you're not hard enough or you're too hard. So let's go back into history. What do you think really was the transitional period in which women were pushed into a role of submission and males are pushed into this role of hierarchy, and now we're kind of twisted it? But I don't know if women are supposed to be the tougher ones or if guys are supposed to be the tougher ones. I don't know where that rule really lies. Does that make sense?
Well, that's a good question, and I think there's a lot of confusion from the male side. Like, I think, you know, we've seen the past few decades women have really been pushed to excel, and women have pushed themselves to, and they've succeeded in many ways. I mean, men, many professional schools, medicine and law, it's mostly women now, and it's a lot of universities, it's mostly the majority women, more majority of people graduating are women. So, but I think that's all a positive thing. I think it reminds me of how one woman said it to me, and I think this is exactly it. She said, I may be a boss at work, but I'm with a man, I want to feel like a woman. It's like, yes, women could have succeeded in the, you know, corporate world, in the business world, in the professional world, and that's wonderful. They've taken on important leadership roles, and that's wonderful. But still, when they're with a man, and, you know, as a husband or a relationship, they want to feel like a woman. They may be strong, you know, at their job, but they don't want a guy that they have to boss around and tell them what to do. That may be their assistant at work, but not their husband, not the man that they're with. They want a strong man, someone who's equally strong or stronger than her. I mean, do strong women want a guy who's weak? And I mean, every woman I've talked to said they can't stand it. If a guy just can't make a decision, you know, won't take responsibility, blames her, blames everybody for any problem that he has, it's a big, big turnoff.
All right. So you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty, and I am fortunate enough to have Elliot Katz here on the line hanging out with us on a Sunday night. And last Sunday of February, can you believe it? Shut the front door. He is a fabulous author of Being the Strong Man a Woman Once, Timeless Wisdom on Being a Man. So call in. I know you have questions. I feel the vibes on the line. 347-205-9443. All right, so let's backtrack it a little more. The question that I'm trying to derive at is where did we come to the conclusion or the opinion that one gender has to be stronger than the other? What part of our society decided, and I know the answer philosophically, but in order to have a good show, you have to have good questions.
Well,
and that's the best one.
I think it's just human nature. I don't think anybody decided. I think it's just, you know, nobody, you know, it's this whole idea of what's nurture or nature. Like, I think it's human nature that women, I mean, this is what they told me. I've spoken to so many women about my book and the ideas in it, and no woman has said to me, you know, I don't want a guy who shows leadership and makes decisions. I want a guy who can't, you know, who whines and, you know, won't make any decisions. No one has said that to me. I think it's just human nature of that's what women want. And on the other side, for men, that, you know, the man as leader, it doesn't come naturally. It's really something that traditionally fathers taught their sons or fathers or another older male role model. And that's why it's important for, you know, young boys to have male role models so that they teach them what it means to be a man. And that's, I just think that's human nature. It doesn't come naturally to most men. They have to be taught. And women just, I think that's, you know, one woman said to me, when a woman marries a man, she's trusting him with her life. She wants to feel she could trust him with her life. He has to be strong. And someone who won't stand up for anything and won't, you know, take charge of difficult situations, doesn't mean he has to take charge of every single situation. But if a man takes charge of no situations and makes no decisions, it's a big, big turnoff.
Well, and I think it's very interesting because we have, in some respects, we've emasculated, even through Scripture, we've emasculated this gender distinguishing place that, you know, girls are supposed to be girls and have the baby dolls. And the first toy that they get is a tea set, and they learn how to be proper and of course, I was the muddy skipper who was blowing things up, but I was, you know, outside the fringe. And then the boys get the army men and the Tonka trucks and the BMX bikes, and they build the forts and all of that stuff. The girls weren't allowed to do that. And I think it's very interesting how culturally we have decided what gender roles are, and then we tweak them. Now there's confusion, and I think it's even harder to unravel that confusion because genuinely, as a woman, I'm a single parent. I own two businesses. I work my fanny off, and I love my sword fighting. I'm at the gym every day. I'm a tomboy, but I don't think I am. I just think I'm a very strong woman who gets it done. And for me, no, I don't want I find males who can't stand up for themselves, they either need to be my equal or they need to be a little stronger, which is why you're on the show, because I do agree with that aspect of the book. But I don't think it's because of their gender. I just think it's because it's a match. Does that make sense? So maybe there are some women out there that want somebody a little softer, a little bit more submissive. I personally find them very boring. So do you think that this rule of thumb applies to everyone, or do you think that it's just kind of a generic concept?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question, and my first inclination is to say that, you know, it doesn't apply to everyone, but really, like, every woman says to me what you've just said. I'm strong.
Right.
I want somebody as strong or a little stronger.
Sure. Yep.
It's pardon?
Yeah, I'm agreeing.
Yeah, I mean, and then you see some women, they seem to want to be controlling, and they look for a guy they can control, but ultimately they hate him for being so weak. You know, they think, oh, I got him to this, he gave into this, he gave into that. But ultimately, they don't appreciate it. They you know, the man thinks, oh, look, I'm such a nice guy. I gave into everything she wants. But she, well, how come she has no respect for me? Because she sees him as weak. So she hates him for it. So, and just getting back to, you know, your earlier point about gender identification, and, you know, we give girls dolls and we give boys guns and or whatever. But you know what? I don't think it's girls are nurturing because we give them dolls. I think girls choose dolls because, you know, a friend of mine is a mother. She said, well, you know, she was going to change all this. She gave her son a doll. And he just threw it away. He didn't want it. So I think, you know, people have some natural inclinations that you know, I don't, you know what I mean? I think if a girl doesn't have to want to play with a doll, she doesn't have to. She can play with, you know, what we consider male toys. It's, you know, it's really, I don't think that's what makes them that way. It's their choice. It's so I don't think there's this conspiracy to, like, program kids to be certain ways. It's just that people have a certain, I mean, you see it in, you know, I think of male friends, some are very aggressive in sports, you know, playing football, you know, very aggressive sports. Some people aren't that, you know, may prefer just going bicycling. I mean, it's you know, people have their different personality traits, and I don't think, you know, if you gave that guy who just wants to go off and ride his bicycle, you know, say, here, you're playing football, he says, no, I don't want to. It's not, right. You know, you can't really program him that way. That's what I'm trying to say. So
I think I disagree a little bit on that. I definitely believe that your environment shapes your behaviors. So if you see your dad beating the heck out of your mom, you're going to go one of two ways. You're either going to beat the heck out of women, or you're going to be very sensitive to domestic violence. Just as for females who see the woman, say, battered, working very hard and being taken advantage of by her partner, they go one of two ways. They either develop this resentment and fight against that abuse, or they become another abused person. So, and those are very extreme things, but the point is you have, as a parent, and, you know, I'm a mom, I shape my daughter's environment. I shape what she sees, who she knows, what she plays with, what she watches, where she goes, and it's all based on her environment. And that does play a role in who she's going to become later on in life. She's really, really lucky that she gets to hang out with imams and rabbis and monks and all of these cool spiritual leaders, which is different than most kids. But in actuality, and I don't think it's a conspiracy, I just think it's a cultural thing that we environmentally influence our children's development.
I agree with you. I agree with you that absolutely. The environment does influence a child. Of course, that's part of, you know, a parent's upbringing, you know, raising a child, to expose them to, you know, positive influences that will. But my point was, there was a time when people thought it was all, you know, nurturing, that there was no nature, you know, this nature versus nurture argument.
Right.
It was
right.
It was all nurture, which I think it's both. So that was really my point. What you expose your child to, of course, influences them. But it's not 100% that. It's both.
No, absolutely. And what I find most ironic as a parent are the parents who are very clear. Like, I've gone to, when my daughter was in daycare, there were men that would see their sons playing with the girls. And my daughter was not too far from the apple tree here. She'll wear the prettiest princess dress, but she will be in the mud with the boys playing with the Tonka trucks. And there are parents, and I've coached soccer for 13, 14 years now, community soccer, and there are males who are very vicious and aggressive about ensuring that their son has this masculine, perceived masculine role. And what we're going to do in the next half an hour is we're going to talk about what you really mean by strength and what you really mean by masculinity. But I'm just kind of teeing you up for it to get you ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
So I've had to throw males off of my field because they're calling their children names in this aggressive perceived notion of, like, the man, this masculine entity, which I personally find as much of a turnoff as the sniffling guy who doesn't pull up his big boy pants and do what's right. So we're going to talk about that. But here is the moment in time where you get to shamelessly plug yourself, tell everybody where they can find you. We're going to go to a commercial break and come right back.
Okay, the book is Being the Strong Man a Woman Wants, Timeless Wisdom on Being a Man. It's available from Amazon as a paperback and an e-book, and it's also an e-book on Kobo.com. And it's available in bookstores, and if they're sold out, you could just ask them and they'll order it for you and get it to you pretty quickly. And if you want to write to me, you can go to my website. It's www.beingthestrongman.com.
Very cool. Then we'll be right back.
Tune in weekly to Living and Thriving with Rusty McDonald. Inspiration on tap. A radio talk show that is down to earth, organic, and reflects years of experience and humility. Tune in and join Rusty McDonald as she explores topics related to mind, body, and soul. Visit her website for more information, www.rustymcdonald.com.
Sponsorship opportunity. I feel it. I feel it coming. Last week we had Cody Prevost from Canada, this fabulous cutie patootie country songwriter. I'm not a country fan, but he kind of tilted my scales a little bit over that way because it was very well done. It was a beautiful song. Again, three times a day. Depends on your promotional package. You go to my website, check it out, doing car wraps because I travel up and down the Eastern Seaboard doing my motivational speaking, going from my house in Florida to my apartment here in New Hampshire and back several times a year. And that's I added it up today and it was like 600 hours of road time. Crazy. But if you want to wrap my car, you better have a good company that I agree with that fits my brand. And let's talk. It would be fun. So I am here on this beautiful Sunday night with Elliot Katz. He is the author of Being the Strong Man a Woman Wants, Timeless Wisdom on Being a Man. And we're talking about gender bending and nature versus nurture and what it really means to be a man and of course, what it means to be a woman. Because, you know, you kind of have to have the salt and the pepper there to figure out what it all really means. So, Elliot, talking about demasculating and over-masculating, what do you think that's about?
Sorry, what's the question? What do I think is what?
The over-masculization of males when they're trying to, they'll take the doll away from their son at daycare, like we were talking earlier, and put a truck in the boy's hand or kind of really push this masculine figure. What is that about? Where do you think that comes from? Like, what part of our education did we grow into this feeling that that's the kind of masculinity women are looking for?
It's a good question. You know, it's often this is debate, like, what do women want, the nice guy or the bad boy? So it's like, it sounds like the bad boy, the very aggressive, you know, and as if we consider that being masculine, being very aggressive, controlling, you know, almost, you know, warlike, ready to go out there and fight.
Right.
And versus, you know, he doesn't want his son to be soft. And so, I mean, but really, you know, if a kid plays with a doll, I wouldn't worry about it.
Right.
It's not something that would work, you know, and it's same like girls who are tomboys who, you know, do all those male sports, you know, they grow up to be, you know, I'm sure they grow up to be attractive women, very feminine. It doesn't put them on the wrong path for life or on a different path for life. So it's just a bit of craziness to do that.
Right.
I think it's, but it really, like I say, I think it kind of reflects that this whole thing, is it the bad boy, the nice guy? When really, so that's really one of the points of my book, is we've lost what it really means to be a man. It's not this weak, nice guy who can't make a decision, or the bad boy who is strong, but is just controlling and really lacks a lot of other qualities. It's really like the traditional idea of a manly man who's mature, has strength of character, has integrity, honest, moral, you know, who takes charge and shows leadership when there's a problem. You know, that is that, you know, the man of admirable qualities, of noble qualities. You know, that's the dictionary definition of manliness. It's that is what I think men have to strive for. It takes a lot of effort. But I think that's what they have to strive for, not only to make a wife happy, but, you know, just to be a decent person in the world. So, you know, I think that's, like, there's all this confusion because is it the nice guy or the bad boy? The bad boy meaning like aggressive and, you know, threatening. It's neither.
Well, and it's interesting because my marriage was very much an adversarial combat war zone. The scales were definitely not tilted in any sense of balance whatsoever. And as I've been single for almost 4 years now, sitting back, I have dated, and I seem to have dated a couple of people that were just, they couldn't speak for themselves. They'd ask them the question, and as you probably feel very comfortable with now, I'm right to the point, and I'm not soft about it. And I couldn't go on a second date with them. If you can't stand up for yourself and speak your mind, it's not going to work. So explain to me what the difference between strength or what your version of strong means.
It's really a strength of character. You know, it's not about physical strength. It's about strength of character. It's being able to stand up for what you believe in. It's exactly what you just said. It's a man who doesn't stand up for himself. A woman feels a man who doesn't stand up for himself won't stand up for her. If he can't stand up to her, he can't stand up for her. And she wants to feel this man will stand up for her. If there's a situation, she wants to feel that, you know, she could trust him, not to turn to her and say, what should we do? You know, and so that's about strength. It's about strength of character, strength of, you know, of integrity. It's about strength of being able to show leadership. It's like if you believe in something and you know, and your wife disagrees with you, well, you know, you have to just decide. Well, is what she's saying reasonable, or is she, you know, if you disagree with her, you have to be strong and say, no, this is. The right way. I strongly believe this is the right way. And don't just give in to her. And then if it goes wrong like you thought it would, then blame her, right? That's not being strong. That's being weak.
Do you think that is possible for women like me, and I have a few listeners on that have the same issues that I do in regards to finding a new mate, because we had an abusive controlling relationship with a mate that just was over the top, and then we'd start dating softer ones and it's just not the right fit. So do you think it's possible that women like us who have had and been forced to all of these years, and I don't think forced, I just think it's the way it is, to hold the entirety of the relationship up because they couldn't rely on their partner to take any kind of responsibility on any level, there is a possibility that there is a male that is a good match who will be willing to take responsibility for not only their actions but the relationship?
Well, there is a possibility. And that's why I've written this book, because I'm trying to, you know, teach men that this is what they have to be, and this is what a woman wants. And you know, what you're describing to me is not unique. I've heard it, you know, from a lot of women.
Oh, I know. Yes.
And that's what they're looking for. But the men seem to be, a lot of men just don't seem to understand that's what women want. They think, you know, they really think, oh, if they just bring in the money, and that they just do whatever their wives tell them to do, then their wives should be happy. Like, well, I'm just doing whatever you want. Why aren't you happy?
I have a friend who is strictly platonic relationship, but we get along very, very well because this person happens to have listening ears, and this person knows that I'm completely strung out. I'm working two companies, raising my daughter full time, and trying to relocate almost 1,600 miles south. And he'll say, "Hey, what do you want for dinner?" Perfect. It's not, "Do you want to go and have dinner?" or "What, you know, where do you want to go?" It's "What do you want for dinner?" And it's that in itself alleviates me 15 to 20 minutes of thinking of what I'm going to do for dinner, because I have all of these other balls juggling. So I think males don't completely understand, or maybe they don't hear, the amount of responsibility that we as women and mothers and partners have and are forced to uphold, because guys just, I don't know, do they flake out? Do they just go into this, like, Rod Sterling comes out of the ear and zaps them in zombie land?
Well, you know, it's an interesting example, because that's an example I use, that people, and I men will say, "My wife calls me at work. She wants to know what she should make for supper. Why, you know, why I'm in the middle of working, why doesn't she?" And I say to her, you decide, you know, you make whatever you make will be delicious, and then why is she calling me? Why can't she make any decisions? And they can't understand that, well, she called you because she wants you to make the decision. That's what she wants. So if it really doesn't matter to you, then it's an easy decision. Just choose one. If she says you want chicken or fish, well, just choose one. It's easy. It's not that difficult.
Well, go ahead. I personally find that there are certain males who are so submissive that they will wait to find out what you want before they make the decision, which makes me work twice as hard. It's like, "You want chicken or fish? Just tell me." And they're like, "Well, what do you want for you to give me an answer? Chicken or fish? I don't care." So that like 2-second conversation turned into this 20-minute debate as to whether or not it's going to be chicken or fish. There's no point in me asking him anymore. And I think, especially in my marriage, that's exactly how the last probably 6 years turned out, was I just stopped asking. Because
Right.
There's no point.
No, these examples are exactly what my book is about. And because that's it. You know, even, you know, I know young women, they'll say to me, a man asks them out on a date, you know, "Do you want to go out Saturday night?" And she says, "Yes." And then she says, "Okay, well, where do you want to go? What time should I pick you up?" Be a man with a plan. I mean, you can't even decide. you can't even plan a date, can't take the time to do the research and, you know, have an idea what you think both of you would enjoy doing. And this is the things I hear over and over again. Men can make any decisions. But they all think they're being so nice. They're being so non-controlling. What are you unhappy about? I'm letting you make all the decisions. You should be happy. And and that's what it really comes down to, what I said right at the beginning, that fathers used to teach younger men, like, this is what it means to be man of the house. You got to make decisions, take responsibility for them. If it's not a good decision, take responsibility. Don't blame your wife. Don't say, "Oh, well, you know, I did this because you wouldn't make a decision." Take responsibility. If it's a bad decision, fix it, change it. You know, whatever you need to do.
I have to say personally, I think it has a lot to do with communication, lack of communication, and in this day and age where we communicate 90%, all right, well, I'll be nice, I'll say 60%, I think it's more like 90, via virtual method, you know, email, text message, chat room, we've lost the ability to pick up on the subtle differences of tonality, of physical. Like if you say, "Hey, what do you want for dinner?" and that person just doesn't want to make a decision, there's going to be body language there. But you're not going to see the body language via text. And you're certainly not going to hear that person tell you to go and stick it in your ear for not pulling up your big boy pants and saying, "Hey, let's go have Chinese." So I think that's really a larger interference with our social construct at this point in life, is that we've become more mechanical, more virtual, more what I call an Autobot, versus actually having one-on-one conversations. And then when you do have that opportunity to have a one-on-one conversation, it's more likely than not that individual is going to have a very difficult time relating to you because, well, most of your relationships have been done via text. Does it make sense?
Well, I think what you're saying is valid, but I think really, like, the lack of men showing leadership and making any decisions isn't because it's through text or email or telephone. It's really because they weren't taught what a man should be. That's really what it comes down to, and that's really why I wrote the book. It's like when I tell men, make a decision. When you ask a woman out, you know, be a man with a plan. Think about,
right.
you know her a little bit. Think about what you would both enjoy doing. And ask her, would you like to go see this concert? I think, you know that she likes this kind of music. You like it too. Let's go see this concert. I've heard this band is really good. You know, you're taking the time.
It's never tired to actually listen and acknowledge you and engage with you to delve into the information on whether or not you like to go to raves at 37, just personal experience, versus a country pop song singer. And I really think that there's a huge disconnect in communication and absorbing of the information that's given.
Right.
So I think it was harder for guys to be able to stand up and say, hey, let's go and have Chinese, if they're not really paying attention.
Right. But still, at least it's a lot better to say than to say, oh, what, you know, you want to go out Saturday? Oh, what would you like to do? Where would you like to go? What time should I pick you up? You do that,
right.
She's already like written you off because, so, well, what kind of date is this? It's a
right.
You know, I've had women tell me that, like, if a man asks them especially at the beginning, if he asks you what you want to do on the date and he has no plans, no idea, like, hey, come on, like, be a man. Like, you're not saying we have to do this. You know, if you invite her to a movie and she says she's seen it three times, you don't say, well, we're going to see it a fourth time. No, you accommodate, you compromise, but to call her up with no plan and no idea and just think, oh, I'm showing how non-controlling I am, it's a big
turn.
And then, pardon, sorry?
That kind of behavior does turn into a controlling behavior. It's kind of a manipulative, self-sabotory behavior, to be unable to simply articulate, hey, I want to go see Batman the Third for the 19th time. Do you want to go? She says,
well,
yes, that's great, good for you. But if she says no, then you either go or you come up with a compromise. And I think that's terribly important, to at least have something to put on the table.
Well, absolutely.
And I think
absolutely.
That's what you're saying.
So, but then, transfer this to a family situation where, you know, you have children, you're trying to raise your children, and anything that comes up, you know, oh, our son is having problems at school. Oh, well, what do you think we should do? You know, you decide, what you handle it. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, the home is your area. It's like, and then women, and then he just always does that. If he's never, like, if he just thinks, well, no, she takes care of everything at home, she just feels, well, what do I need this guy here for? It's like, and he may think, oh, I'm such a great guy, I change diapers, I wash the dishes, but, like, you're being a nanny, basically. Like, she wants a man who can show his share of leadership. It's not about every decision he has to make. It's like the men are making no decisions. It's like it's so frustrating. Like, I've talked to so many women, and it's like they're so frustrated with men. Like, they want a man. They want a partner, like, who's there, who's the man of the house, who knows what's going on, sees a problem, steps forward and deals with it, doesn't wait for his wife to tell him what to do all the time, you know, knows where his kids are, and if they need to be picked up, and just goes and picks them up, doesn't wait for his wife to tell him, oh, go pick up this one at this time, this one, this one. Know what's going on. Be an equal participant in leading the home. It's But you know, I mean, I've heard this so many times from women. They say
it sounds like a fantasy man. I don't know. Does he come in like, you know, nylon suit and a cape with a cool little mask? Or, you know, I'm all about men in uniform. So, you know, fantasy man. As long as he comes in a uniform, I'm pretty good. As long, you know, not fast food uniform. But
no, I really think it comes down to what I've been saying is, men don't realize this. They really think they're being nice, sensitive, non-controlling guys by letting the woman make all the decisions and not showing any leadership. And they don't realize, no, don't be controlling. Nobody wants somebody who's controlling. You know, that's not being a leader. A controlling person is insecure and just wants what's best for themselves. A leader thinks about the greater good of his family, knows what's going on, sees problems, sets forth and deals with it. And when a man learns this and starts doing this, and he keeps doing it, and it just becomes part of him, like, you know, any other kind of skill, any kind of growing that you do becomes part of you. Then you know, you have a happier family. Your kids love you, and your wife is happy with you, because otherwise she's fed up with you. If you don't, she'll say, "What do I need this guy for?"
Well, and I think it's just from my personal perspective. Again, I can only speak from my own experience, but you're right. What do I need this guy for? He actually causes me more stress than I have time for or want. And I think guys really need to hear that loud and clear. It's not that, you know, you need to come in and dictate and what is it, spoil the child? Oh, God, I can't remember the biblical saying, but, you know.
Spare the rod, spoil the child.
Right, exactly. That's not what women are looking for. We're looking for somebody who isn't going to be, okay, so I dated this guy, and he woke up in the middle of the night screaming my name because he heard something in the bush and expected me to take care of it. Right? Really? Next. So it's that kind of stuff. Like, if you expect me to have your back and I need to 100% value that, you know that no matter what push and shove comes, I'm there and I'm going to be strong. I need to know that you're going to be strong for me as
right,
well.
Right.
And I don't think guys really hear that anymore, especially in my generation. I mean, for the most part, they expect us to do everything while they just sit and play video games or watch TV or, you know, they let the dishes pile up in the sink while you're running around taking care of the kids. It's not, there's no half and half there at all. And I find it intriguing that you're trying to strengthen the males to, you know, at least do the dishes. That would be hugely helpful.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's chores to be done at home, but like, see, in my generation, the men thought if they just did the chores, that was enough. That was their contribution. They forgot about the leadership part. They forgot about knowing what's going on and what problems have to be dealt with and finding solutions and implementing those solutions, which is what a leader does in any situation, not just the family, right? That's what a leader does, knows what's going on, sees problems, and finds solutions for them. And that's, you know, and, you know, some guys will tell me, "Oh, you know, I've been married 5 years, 10 years, and my wife has been running the show for the past 10 years. How can I change things?" So first thing I tell them is don't, like, undermine your wife. If she makes a decision, don't say, "Oh, I'm going to show leadership." We're not doing that. We're going to do the complete opposite. So that's undermining her, and that's stupid.
Right.
It's really about
suicide.
It's about looking what needs to be done. You see a problem with your child? Maybe your wife has taken the child to a doctor, nothing helps. Like, maybe do some research on your own. You know, with the internet now, you have access to so much research on everything, right? On, you know, parenting, diseases, I mean, all kinds of conditions.
Right.
Do some research, find a solution, implement it. And she might ignore you at first because she's kind of shocked and taken back. But if you just keep doing it, she'll say, "Hey, yeah, wow, this is the kind of man I want. This is amazing." And, you know, the other thing that happens is when a man gives in all the time, you know, he thinks, "Oh, I'm such a nice guy. I'm doing this. I'm such a great guy. Look at she. I'm sure she appreciates." Pardon?
I would imagine he would become resentful as well.
Well, what happens is, you know, he may give in. See, there's all these decisions. "Oh, that doesn't matter to me. You know, what restaurant? You decide. And then comes something that's really important to him. And he says, I want it this way. This is important to me. And they just ignore him because, well, he's never said anything before. So they just ignore him. And that leads to that passive-aggressive behavior, right? He's passive. Suddenly, this is important. He wants us. He's ignored. And he just, gets very angry. So that's the way to avoid that is be a man, show leadership, know what's going on, take responsibility, be manly, exhibit those really traditional manly qualities like integrity, high morality, good character. And don't forget, you're a role model for your kids. How you treat your wife is you're showing your son how a woman should be treated. And for your daughter, you're an example of the kind of man, you influence the kind of man she will choose. You want your daughter to choose a good man? Be that kind of man. It's a challenge. It's not easy.
We're running out of time here. I just want to give out a quote. And while I'm reading this quote from your book, Being the Strong Man a Woman Wants, Timeless Wisdom on Being a Man, I want you to think about the one thing you want over 200,000 people internationally to take away from today's show. So you think, and I'm going to speak. Thinking that a man's main job is to provide isn't new. In the 19th century, Samson Raphael Hirsch taught that a man will have grief and misery if he thinks money and property are enough to make him a true father of a family. Dr. Benjamin Spock said that if a father is to have an ideal influence on his children, as well as a good relationship with his wife, he must be first of all a father, which means being a leader of and a model for his children. I like that. Well done.
Absolutely.
So you have about a minute and a half to give us what you think people should take away from today's show. Then I want you to shamelessly plug yourself so that people know where to find you. And we're wrapping up for Sunday night.
Okay, so really it comes down to three things. A man has to show leadership, make decisions, and take responsibility. And the thing is, and if you're a woman and you're wondering how to get your man to do this, when he tries to get you to make a decision, don't make it. If he says, what restaurant do you want to go to, A or B, just say, you decide, and then don't say another word. And then when there's a problem to be dealt with and he's ignoring it, just ask him to deal with it. And if he asks you what to do, just say, I don't know, do research. That's what I do. And unless he does something really dangerous, don't criticize him for it. Praise him. When he makes a decision, praise him, because really you're trying to encourage him to start being like a man, and that's what he needs. He's so afraid of being criticized. That's what he needs. So that's my message. Show leadership, make decisions, take responsibility, and let him make the decisions, and let him handle problems, and don't criticize him unless he's doing something really dangerous. And the book is called Being the Strong Man a Woman Wants, Timeless Wisdom on Being a Man. And like I said, it's available on Amazon as a paperback and ebook, and it's on Kobo.com as an ebook, and it's available in bookstores, and if they're sold out, just ask them, and they'll get it to you pretty quickly. And my website, which you can email me through, is beingthestrongman.com.
Very cool. I'm very grateful that we were able to touch base. And again, we only scratched the surface of this conversation. I'm sure it could last for many hours. I'm grateful that you're out there and really trying to inspire the young men to kind of be a little bit more decisive and have something more to bring to the table, because as a woman, we've got enough going on, and it's really nice when you can say, hey, we're having pizza tonight. Sweet, fine, whatever, you're doing the dishes. I'm good. So thank you, Elliot Katz. Namaste to you. And reach out. Check him out. Being the Strong Man a Woman Wants. It's very cool. Great read. And you can find some of his speeches on YouTube. Check him out. So Wednesday, I will just be landing in beautiful sunny Florida and plugging in somewhere, God knows where. But we'll be talking with Kathleen Choquist, author, blogger, mother, crazy, fanatical, cancer thriver, lover of life. She's all about higher consciousness. And I'm totally, totally, totally looking forward to this, because she's raw, just like me, and she's willing to communicate, and she's open, and she has no problem with being authentic and real. So that's Wednesday. Kathleen Choquist, author, blogger, fabulous woman. I'm so looking forward to meeting her. As always, I am grateful to be able to walk this path with you, learn, live, thrive, and find some amazing people to share their stories and what makes them passionate, because you know what? It makes me passionate to continue doing this. I love you. You're beautiful. You're amazing. The show would not exist if it wasn't for you. So live and thrive, and I will talk to you on Wednesday.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.